Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. It is nice to see you here, whether you're here in person or via Facebook, YouTube, or teleconference phone call. If you are with us in the sanctuary, you should have received communion as you walked in. If you don't have one, please be sure to get that. For us, it's very important that all truly feel welcome to partake and see that God is good as we have communion together. We invite you to sign in via our burgundy folders you'll see on the inside of the pew. It's very helpful to us in the administrative side of the church. And we invite you to wear a mask as we are singing, as we continue to try to protect those most vulnerable in our community. And if you're with us via Facebook, YouTube, or teleconference phone call, please be ready to have your communion elements and to say hello and to be ready to share your prayer requests during our pastoral prayer. It is wonderful to have Carol back at the organ as our organist. As our organist Zahari is in Bulgaria seeing his family right now. He'll be back there for, I believe, 3 weeks. So we wish him safe travels and sacred moments as he is there seeing family. We invite you to stand and join us in the call to worship led by Nancy May.
Come, all you who are struggling.
Come, all you who are crippled by pain and suffering.
Come to worship a God who heals your pain.
Come to worship a God who gives forgiveness.
Let us worship God who sets us free and gives us new life. Please join in the singing of Come, Thy Font of Every Blessing, Chalice Hymnal number 16. In a prayer of thanksgiving. For the expanding grandeur of creation, worlds known and unknown, galaxies beyond galaxies, filling us with awe and challenging our imaginations, we give thanks this day. For this fragile planet Earth, its times and tides, its sunsets and seasons, we give thanks this day. For the joy of human life, its wonders and surprises, its hopes and achievements, we give thanks this day. For our human community, our common past and future hope, our oneness transcending all separation, our capacity to work for peace and justice in the midst of hostility and oppression. We give thanks this day. For high hopes and noble causes, for faith without fanaticism, for understanding of views not shared, we give thanks this day. For all who have labored and suffered for a fairer world, who have lived so that others might live in dignity and freedom, we give thanks this day. For human liberty and sacred rights, for opportunities to change and grow, to affirm and choose, we give thanks this day. We pray that we may live not by our fears, but by our hopes, not by our words, but by our deeds. We give thanks this day. Amen.
You may be seated. If there are any kids in the sanctuary, you're invited to come forward. Or if you're with us via Facebook or YouTube, I invite you to watch as we are having our children's sermon this time. Today I want to talk a little bit about distractions. Who have issues with distractions? Wow, I appreciate your honesty. That is awesome. Very good, children. I found these awesome rocks that have magnets in them. They're really amazing. Anyways, I'm talking about distractions and how we can easily get off topic. But have you noticed how certain types of lifesavers are better than others? Like gummy lifesavers? Anybody like gummy lifesavers? I love gummy lifesavers. Oh, distractions. So whenever I'm trying to center myself, a busy, chaotic life, I sometimes think about how there's certain candies I used to eat as a child. You know all these candies? I loved these things. I used to count them as fruit servings. Now, I hate them. I think they're disgusting. Disgusting. I'm sorry if I'm hurting some feelings. And then there's these things. Has anyone ever understood these things? Like, you can bend them certain ways, but not the other. I've never understood ribbon and wood. I can never get them to go back the right the same way. Distractions. It's so easy to be distracted. I'm trying to not listen to music in the background as I work, which is very difficult because I like to fill in silence. I'm trying to find ways to be less distracted. I've got all these little ways of trying to center myself. Here's some sand that I am doing a long-term borrow from the Saharan desert. It is incredibly soft. So I love the sand, and I just work it in my fingers. And I love feeling the sand and centering myself, slowing myself down. If you've come into my office, you might have thought it was on fire a couple times because I like to light candles. And so there's this beautiful candle that it's got this beautiful smell to it. And it reminds me of God's presence. And I was a part of a prayer group, and we each took ribbon and wrapped around a piece of ribbon to remind ourselves of each other as a part of this prayer group. So I think about each person who's represented with each one of these ribbons. And as I've given out a number of these here at the church, I've got this hand cross that you can hold in your hand in lots of different ways whenever you're praying. And it's a great way of centering myself. Or I'll listen to Tizé music, this beautiful chanting music. There's lots of ways to remove the distractions. There's no wrong way to do it. For some people, it's sitting in a safe space, in a sanctuary, playing with sand, lighting a candle. I mean, there may be one wrong way to do it if you like these things. But I hope you'll be mindful of all the ways in which you're distracted when the world might be needing your attention. As we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, always this voice always inviting us to ask different questions, ask better questions, not be so focused on these things over here, but to recenter our focus. So whether it's a candle or something else, may you find something to recenter yourself in this busy world. Please join us in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, in a world that wants our attention 24/7, 365 and a fourth, help us to find tools. Help us to find toys, crayons, Play-Doh, whatever it is that can center us. We know how our neighbors, our earth, our community needs our attention. But so often, we need our attention. Help us to pay attention. In Christ we pray. Amen.
I'm reading this morning from Ecclesiastes, the words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how one's eyes see sleep neither day nor night, then I saw all the work of God, that no one can find out what is happening under the sun. However much they may toil in seeking, they will not find it out. Even though those who are wise claim to know, they cannot find it out. All this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, one does not know. Everything that confronts them is vanity, since the same fate comes to all, to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to those who sacrifice and those who do not sacrifice. As are the good, so are the sinners. Those who swear are like those who shun an oath. This is an evil in all that happens under the sun, and the same fate comes to everyone. Moreover, the hearts of humans are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after they go to the dead. But whoever is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. The living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no more reward, and even the memory of them is lost. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished. Never again will they have any share in all that happens under the sun. Go, eat your bread with enjoyment and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has long ago approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Do not let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife with whom you love all the days of your vain life that are given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going.
Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel and Danielle. I feel like we've been visited by angels. Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you to Marcia, who preached last week about hope beyond hope. And my family and I had a wonderful time up in Glacier National Park. Had some great angels help us as we had some woodchucks eat through our brake line in our trailer, which made for an eventful trip. So we give thanks for angels who visited us here in our sanctuary and who help us with our brake lines. We're continuing our series, looking at the books of the Bible that we tend to skip over. And so we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes today. Next week, we'll look at the famous poem that many of us know from this particular book. But today, we're looking at some other parts ahead of that. We'll be looking at three sort of ideas, fun Hebrew words to look at, and then we'll try to get a bigger picture of what this beautiful voice, this voice of Koheleth, it's called the teacher, Koheleth the teacher, is trying to tell us. Please join me in a word of prayer. God, thank you for visiting us through angels, through smiles of strangers, through a cold cup of clean water on a hot day. God, we give you thanks for all the ways in which you break into the normalcy of our lives. You break up our distractions that are pulling us away from our true identities. Help us, O God, to hear this unique voice in Scripture, and to hear each unique voice that we come across every day. We pray this in the precious name of Christ. Amen. So, the early rabbis did not know what to do with this uncomfortable person, this teacher called Koheleth, in the book of Ecclesiastes. Last year, when you read, Betsy, we looked at Ezekiel, and the rabbis were saying, watch out, don't read this book alone, make sure you're grounded, make sure you haven't been watching, you know, your favorite cable news TV show and then reading that, you know. Rabbis did not know what to do with this book. It went off the typical trajectory. As we've looked at in this series, there are books in the Bible that I believe are to be read with other books. This is to be read with Deuteronomy and Proverbs. If you're someone who loves a black and white world, those books work for you. For those of you who think there's a beautiful rainbow between a black and white world and there's a lot of nuance, Ecclesiastes might be a better home for you to go when you're trying to figure out why things are happening in the world. In Deuteronomy, it's very clear. If you don't put your blinker on, you will get in an accident. Right? Very clear, right? Very much, if you eat that Happy Meal, you will have stomach problems, right? Very, very clear. Ecclesiastes, Koheleth comes along and just says, it's a lot more complicated and nuanced than that. That's part of why early rabbis did not know what to do with this particular book. If you've ever been somebody who has said, I don't really want unsolicited advice during a tumultuous time in life, this book of Ecclesiastes might be for you. If someone said, well, the reason why this is happening in your life is because you didn't say the right prayer, this book might be for you if that answer didn't work for you. If you've been wondering, do the rules apply anymore or is it just chaos all the time? This book is for all of us who find ourselves in that. So let's look at these three words. Hevel. This is where we get vanity of vanity. One song that I will never forget hearing in the sanctuary is Vanitas Vanitatum. Do you remember hearing that 3 years ago? I still have that song in my workout tracks. Like, I just love it. It gets me going. It pumps me up. Vanitas Vanitatum. It's this notion that everything we try to hold on to is just breath. It's just mist. Don't try to hold on to anything. This is the part of the text where we're all going to die, whether we're a king or a common person, and whether we're a lion or a dog. It's this notion of how you can't hold on to the things you want to hold on to, if you try to hold on to, you're just going to destroy. Yesterday, my three-year-old son, Zion, was picking tomatoes out of our garden. If you have a Deuteronomy point of view, tomatoes are supposed to be dark green, light green, pink, red. But I planted a lot of heirloom tomatoes, and that just complicates things. So he brought over this beautiful green and black tomato. It was not ripe at all. I said, we'll put it by the door. We'll carry it in. Just leave it. What do you think he did? He put it back in the garden. You want it to get red? You want it to be flavorful? You put it back in the garden, right? So anytime you try to hold on to things, you'll just lose it. It's like taking an unripened tomato off of the vine to sign. The author says this 30 times over and over and over again. Whatever you're trying to grasp, don't try to grasp. Just enjoy it. Live into it. Cherish that moment. Yitron. This is this comes from a Persian language. Persians liberated the Israelites from the Babylonians who were keeping them captives. This is about like a balance sheet of your life. So for those of us who like Excel, right, who love a good ledger, right, it's this language, right, that what has my life added up to? Have I put in so many credits? Or have I put in more deposits, you know, or withdrawals? You know, what is my life adding up to? So this book questions that, to think about when you look at your life, what does it add up to? Is there progress, or are you just filling up a relationship, filling up a space, filling up a workplace? What's your life amounting to? Second big concept. Third big concept in this book is helic. We each get a portion. So the way I understand this is, it's like we're each given an expiring gift card to Starbucks, okay? And it all expires tonight. What are you gonna do with it? You're gonna get a Frappuccino, Mochaccino. I don't know, I don't like coffee, as you know. I could care less about all that. I couldn't even pick it out of a lineup, right? But what matters is, you get a portion, use it. So it's not so much, you know, drink and be merry. It's drink and do what you love to do and celebrate that. Not find your gifts, celebrate your gifts and live into them. It's a big difference. It's a little bit of a nuance. So those three big ideas, we each get a portion, we each get a ledger. You know, how are we spending our lives? As we back up from this book, Koheleth, this teacher, is wondering, is there a larger system at work? As we're talking about in Sunday school today, people who like physics and understand the world through physics, that goes way over my head in no time. But for Koheleth, things just happen. This is a big debate with my loved ones. Do things happen for a reason? Or do things just happen? Did I do anything to deserve a woodchuck eating my brake line? Hope not, you know? Or am I gonna be trying to, or should I try to live into and be blessed by somebody who could help us in that moment of need? This is about questioning whether are there rules to this game called life and how we can spend our lives trying to figure out all the rules and why did that good thing happen to that evil person that makes me so upset? Or do you ask different questions? How do you wrestle with, why is it that the righteous tend to suffer and the wicked seem to prosper, right? How do we live into that? You can sit there and say, is God testing us? But Koheleth says, just live those questions. Sit with that. Wrestle with why that is happening. There's two ways you can read Koheleth. There are certain lines in this book where you can read it and it's predeterminist in its nature, so we are just puppets acting out a script. I don't think that's the way it's meant to be read, but people do. I would say you probably want to read Deuteronomy. That might be more of your book that you're looking for, right? But Koheleth, I think, is very much, we make choices and the outcomes are out of our control. As I've sat with some of you in moments of pastoral care, I'd say, look, throw yourself into the process, but you have to surrender the outcomes. Don't surrender to the outcomes, but surrender them. Be yourself. Don't give up your values and who you are. Do the right thing, and whatever happens, it's okay. Right? Surrender the outcomes. I believe that's what Koheleth is trying to invite us to do, while Proverbs and Deuteronomy is over here sitting there saying, well, everything happens for a reason. It's because you slept in. Right? There's so much wisdom in this book. We cannot control God by doing the right thing. Deuteronomy wants us to think that at times. Koheleth and the book of Ecclesiastes, not so much. Let me give you an example. When I was young, as I've shared before, I got 3 autographs from Charles Barkley via his mother. Long story, but I'm persistent in tracking somebody down. So I got these 3 autographs. I held them in my hand. I rubbed them, played a basketball game. I scored more points than I ever scored. We won the game. Next game, what was I touching? Those autographs. What happened? We won the game, right? So I kept doing it, but then we lost the game, right? Well, surely I must have messed up. I must have circled 5 times instead of 6 times. I should have done clockwise instead of counterclockwise. Nope, it didn't have magical powers, and I believe our God is not the same way, not a genie in a bottle. Yet, so often, people want that relationship with God. For Koheleth, life is absurd. Some things happen, and not everything happens for a reason. I can sit with that. Can you sit with that? Yes, everything happens, and that matters. But we each get one precious life. So as some people want to figure out why and how and what this means, I'm much more like Koheleth. What is God helping us to do as we respond to this? Are you willing to ask for help when your brake lines are eaten by a woodchuck? It's a question. Not just for me on this recent trip, but I think for all of us. So what do we do with this voice? When some people wanted to throw it out because it didn't match with the other voices, and some people just said, ooh, let's just not even touch that one. Maybe we should skip over it some more. I think we need to protect and celebrate that voice. I'm so glad that it was saved. It could have been pushed aside. And I think so often voices that we struggle with, that we discount, that we think don't fit our worldview, we push aside. But I'm so thankful, as very human people were trying to figure out what is divinely inspired and what belongs, they saved this voice. Even though Deuteronomy was more important because it was already in the Torah, this voice was saved. Where in your life is there a voice that needs to be saved, preserved, and cherished? Where is there a voice that deserves your time, that deserves you to sit down away from all the distractions to save and protect it? Who's that person in your family who drives you crazy, right? But that you really need to preserve? We can talk about why y'all are staring at each other when I said that another time. But why is it that we don't preserve them? Why do we push them aside? If the Bible can do it, we can do it. Amen? In the Bible, it talks this way about itself. It argues with itself. It wrestles with itself. And somehow we think we need to kick out voices that aren't holy enough or whatever enough, when the Bible itself wrestles with why things happen, wrestles with why things happen to many people and to us. If the Bible can preserve and save voices, we should too. We only get one precious life. If we're grasping, trying to figure out there's only one way to do something, Koheleth comes along and says, Vanity is vanity. And I'm so glad this voice is saved. May we be mindful of all the ways in which voices are being silenced today, and how we can work to save and protect each and every single one. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we're mindful of all of the voices that need to be heard. We thank you for making each and every one of us in your divine image and worthy of being heard and cherished and appreciated. God, we're mindful of how in our culture and in our world, some voices have been discounted because of who they love, because of their skin color, because of where they were born, and the list can go on and on and on. Thank you for saving this voice, Koheleth, for inspiring it. Thank you for working through those people who thought they knew all the answers because they were reading Deuteronomy and parts of Proverbs, to let their egos go, to listen to what others have to say. Help us to do the same. God, thank you for these festival scrolls, for these wisdom scrolls that we so often skip over in Scripture. And help us to dance with these words. Help us to argue with them, to wrestle with them, to read them with people with whom we disagree with. But remind us on the journey that we're all invited around the table. God, help us to be a church that works for a world where all can see themselves and find themselves and feel safe, just as Koheleth was found safe and welcomed into the Scriptures. God, we know that this effort, this need to preserve voices was needed 2,000, 3,000 years ago. But it's desperately needed today. So as we center ourselves and remind ourselves what truly matters, help us to begin that journey by listening, by feeling your presence, whether it's through sand, wooden crosses, candles, whatever it may be, O God. We pray this in the sacred name of Jesus. Amen. As we come to our pastoral prayer, I ask we be mindful of all those who have been recently diagnosed with COVID-19. There seems to be a number in our church at this time, and a number of people who are isolating and recovering. And we give thanks for, yes, even Facebook, for allowing all of us to feel connected during this time. We ask continued prayers for Myrna Heimer, who's been suffering from multiple days of severe headaches. And thank you to all of our volunteers who helped with the Interfaith Pride Blessing held in our labyrinth last week and at our Pride Fest booth recently as well. We give thanks for all those who lift up voices who have been silenced for so long. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, how grateful we are for your companionship in all that we feel and hold. God, sometimes we can feel unglued, going in so many directions and yearning for centeredness amid the clamor. And God, sometimes we are bored stiff, weighed down by the heavy sameness of our days and our choices. And sometimes, God, we feel strong and grateful, amazed at the sweetness in this season of life. And sometimes we feel self-pitying, sad another week has passed without a phone call, or contact from a family member or an invitation from a friend. Sometimes, oh God, we feel consumed with worry. People who need help, people who make sad choices, people who feel responsible, that we feel responsible for, people we don't understand, and people who don't understand us. Yet you, oh God, beautifully seam our paradoxes together, grounding both our fury and our emptiness, our worry and our joy in your heart. Help us to give each of these feelings their place, to honor them, accept them with the breath of release. For we know they are, as Kohelet says, like mists in the air. We pray to you, gracious God, for fresh energy and freedom that you offer. Thank you for living within us and all of our imperfections, breathing your peace and power into our very being. It's not our own abilities, but you, that we find meaning and purpose and beauty as we live out our calling. Gracious God, be with us in our unique circumstances and the challenges that we all face. Help us to listen to the voices that we have been silencing for a few minutes, for a few days, for years, for far too long. Open our hearts and our arms to hearing the rest of the story. And now at this time, O God, we pause to make room for one another. And so we make room silently here for each other in the sanctuary, and we invite those who are with us remotely to share joys and concerns at this time. Gracious God, on this Sunday, as we recall the resurrection, we're mindful of our friend, Marv Thomason, who we laid to rest on Friday for the memorial service that we had, for the life well lived. And God, in that same vein, we ask you to help us to live a life well lived, full of joy and beauty and celebration and honoring each other. God, thank you for Christ, who embodied all of those things, who found voices to lift up people who had been marginalized and pushed aside for far too long. And in the midst of his ministry, he shared these words to center his people. And as his people, let us now center ourselves by saying them together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory, power, glory forever. Amen. Friends, I invite you to join us in our communion hymn entitled Step by Step. It's number 14 in the Chalice Praise, which is the purple book that's on the back of your pew in front of you or in the seat. Please join your voice with others.
Thank you.
Friends, as we gather around this table, may we be mindful of all of the tables in this world where we might not feel welcomed. And if that is your experience, may you feel overwhelming acceptance as we come around this table together. Whether you're here in the sanctuary, at home, or on the road, or someplace else, we pray that you can feel God's grace and God's love as we partake communion together, as this is the centerpiece of who we are as disciples of Christ. And so we remember, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, all of you. For this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Christ took the cup, saying, "Take, drink, all of you, for this is the new cup of the new covenant in my blood." So friends, wherever we find ourselves on faith's journey, on life's journey, know that you are welcome to partake of this meal for anyone who hungers and thirsts for a closer relationship with God and their neighbor. May participate. Let us prepare ourselves for this sacred meal by these prayers from our elders.
Gracious Heavenly Father, as your children, our quest for meaning in life all too often clings to our own vanity, producing industrial-sized hefty bags of carnality and narcissism. Fortunately, Lord, your loving hand always rests upon our shoulder, much like that of a nurturing parent or teacher from yesteryear, there to gently remind us that our ultimate purpose here on earth is to serve you and one another. Even in times of chaos and uncertainty, you are in control and you know what you're doing. Now may our trust rest upon you, Lord, the great I Am, as we ask your blessing over this broken bread, emblematic of Christ's sacrificial body on Calvary. In the blessed name of our Redeemer, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, through you we learn the truth of this world, how it would be without your Son, Jesus Christ. As we drink this cup, a symbol of Christ's blood shed for us, may it remind us to not chase after the vain things the world offers, but to know that there is nothing on earth that has lasting value except to know you. May we worship and praise you always for your goodness and grace. Amen.
Friends, may you taste and see that God is good. May you feel the welcome of this church and of Christ.
Lift thine eyes, oh, lift thine eyes.
during Pride Fest, we helped a part of our community celebrate their unique selves, beautiful in the eyes of God. We gathered on the on the labyrinth to celebrate the blessings of each individual person, no matter their varying identities. We made music and praised God in the presence of true friends and allies. We set up a booth in Alamo Park to let all people know that they are children of God and loved in this community of believers. We had heart-wrenching conversations with individuals and families over their traumas at being rejected in certain faith communities, of being unsure about whether they would be welcome if they walked into a church, of how they had been judged by friends and family. We opened our hearts to them and offered them a safe place. It was a beautiful experience to see that everyone in the park space felt free and safe to express who they are and who they are growing to be. We in this faith family are so fortunate to be able to support our friends and neighbors in their growth and allowing them to have a safe and nourishing place to worship. Your support of our church with time and money allows us to continue to be a support to those in our community who are experiencing difficulties of acceptance, homelessness, poverty, recovery from abuse and neglect, to mention a few. Please give as you can to help support our staff and mission here at First Christian Church.
You can see all the ways in which you can support our mission on page 7, whether you're here in the sanctuary or with us in another fashion. As I would like to move to our life together, you can see on pages 5 and 6 some upcoming announcements, including this Saturday is our last music concert on the Labyrinth at 6:30 with a full-size big band for all of us who love jazz. So I invite you to be present for that and take in that beautiful music from our community, and thanks to God for that. You can see on Thursday, August 25th, you have an invitation to join our chancel choir. There is no audition requirement. Jolene is able to work with anyone and their gifts and their skills. And so we invite you to be a part of our beautiful choir here at First Christian Church. And on page 6, you can see we're in the middle of a suggested donation drive for our neighbors and our siblings with One Nation Walking Together. And you can see a list of suggested donated items at the top of page 6. As a part of who we are, each week we invite others who feel as if First Christian Church is a place where they can be nurtured and grow alongside with us in the ways of Jesus. If you would like to make First Christian Church your church home, we invite you to come forward during our closing hymn or to message us at the office, and we'll be glad to connect better with you in that way. At this time, we pause to pass the peace of Christ with those around us. You're invited to send signs of peace here in the sanctuary and to also send words of peace and affirmation online or via teleconference phone call, as we are a community of peace and worshiping the Prince of Peace. We invite you to join us and sing as you are able in the closing hymn entitled Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above. Please stand as you're able. We're going to be singing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
why we gather. Why we gather here at First Christian Church on Sunday at 10:15 is for a multitude of reasons. One is to be reminded of who we are,